Animals have been responsive to weather for thousands of years, and experts at the Tennessee Aquarium share some of those weather proverbs with me. Tom Benson is the communications manager for the aquarium and has a personal interest in predicting weather. My other guest, Rob Motese, is a fish biologist and shares a personal story of fish predicting a storm. When it comes to animals and weather, they're very in tune with the weather. That's part of the fact that they live a lot closer to nature than we do. Therefore, they're going to behave differently when nature behaves differently every time there's a change in the weather. So what are some of the things that you've seen in your work with critters that shows a change of weather on the way?
One experience I had several years back, my wife and I went to Bozeman, Montana on a fly fishing trip. We decided to hire a fishing guide to take us up to one of the very large lakes that was way up there in elevation. I think it was about 10,000 feet up. And we rode horseback up. And finally, we came to this lake, and the guide suggested we go ahead and eat lunch now and do some fishing after lunch. So while we were sitting there eating lunch, all of a sudden, there was a hatch going on. Hatch is a term used to describe the aquatic insect that goes from an aquatic stage to the terrestrial or free flight stage. The trout just went absolutely crazy. They were jumping out of the water, catching the flies in midair. I even saw one do a somersault, and we were not believing our eyes, of course. So we quickly gobbled our sandwiches and jumped in the water, started fishing, and we caught trout left and right, beautiful cutthroat trout. The guide came over and he said, "We have to go now because the rains are coming." I looked up in the sky and the sky was as blue can be. Not a cloud anywhere, right? I said, "Oh, okay, he knows. He's the guide." And it took us about an hour and a half to get down off the mountain. And no sooner we got to the very bottom of the mountain, the heavens opened up and it poured down. So the old proverb of when fish jump up after flies, expect rain, came true that day.
One of the things that is, of course, synonymous with determining weather has been the groundhog. Chattanooga has a couple of groundhogs. One of them is at the Tennessee Aquarium and has been making public appearances or non-appearances for a few years now.
Yeah, he came on board a little bit more than a year ago. You know, he's such a charismatic character, and I think that that's part of why Groundhog Day is so popular, because these animals are just furry, lovable creatures. This is a tradition that actually came over from Germany and originally was kind of a feast or a celebration of Candlemas Day, which was February 2nd. And the folklore is that if the groundhog comes out and it's bright and sunny and he sees a shadow, he's scared back into his hole for another 6 weeks of winter. And of course, if he doesn't see a shadow, then it signifies early spring. Our groundhog is a lot of fun for visitors to meet in our Animal Encounters program at the aquarium, but this book that was published by the Signal Service back in 1883 collected all these stories of weather folklore and weather proverbs from across the United States, and as we began looking at these, it was surprising to me how many animals within the two aquarium buildings had weather folklore attached to them. So we asked biologists like Rob Motese and Kevin Calhoun, our senior aviculturist, and our herpetologist, Dave Collins, to take a look at some of these and tell us which ones they thought were weather fact and which ones were just weather fun. Could be that the observations were just randomly made. For example, a screech owl calling before a storm, that portends a storm. Well, screech owls call for different reasons, one of which is to kind of establish territories, and the other is to attract a mate. So that one's probably not true, but some about tarantulas and frogs actually have some scientific backing, because those animals, as you said, are responding to what's happening in the atmosphere. And it does make sense, because, you know, we kind of are in controlled atmosphere all the time. We go from an air-conditioned car in the summertime to an air-conditioned building, and our car is mostly warm, and we go into a nice climate-controlled building. And so we're kind of isolated from the weather, whereas animals, it's their survival. They need to be in tune with the weather. And so when General Hazen, the head of the Signal Service back in 1883, was taking a look at this, he looked at it from a broader perspective, because he had traveled abroad and learned that European meteorologists at that time were studying weather proverbs, hoping to advance the field of meteorology at that time. And Hazen was very plain when this book was published. He said, you know, we're not going to get rid of our science and our weather instruments, but maybe we should look at this to help improve long-range forecasting. Let's find those nuggets of truth within these weather proverbs and see which ones hold water and which ones don't.
Rob, you've been working with animals for many years.
For many, many years.
You've given us one example. Have you noticed other changes in their behavior when the weather's about to change?
Yes, I have. Prior to working at the Tennessee Aquarium, I was employed by SeaWorld of Florida in Orlando. A particular fish quarantine area was situated right beside the outdoor holding cages for all the macaws. we could always tell when a storm was coming because the macaws would start screeching up a storm, so to speak. They would just start vocalizing to the point that it was so loud, we could hardly talk to one another. And there's a proverb in here that states, parrots and canaries dress their feathers and are wakeful the evening before a storm. Parrots remain a bit uneasy before storm in response to wind or pressure changes. So as Tom mentioned earlier, the animals on our planet are so much more in tune to the geophysical forces that surround them than we are. We're used to controlled environments. The natural environment is not controlled. Their senses are much more in tune to environmental changes. Taking it a step further, some of these geophysical forces are used during their life cycle, such as all the critters that migrate. There's a loggerhead sea turtle that has been known to migrate 10,000 miles across the entire Atlantic Ocean, up into the Mediterranean Sea, come back out, go down the coast of Africa, and then come across. You'd stop and think about that. That's pretty amazing. They're out in the middle of the ocean. How do they know where to go? They're tuned into the gravitational forces. They're tuned into the position of the sun, the position of the moon, position of the stars, and it's pretty amazing.
Some of these relating to marine creatures like sharks and rays also have their basis in science. A lot of people come to the aquarium, and when they're looking at the secret reef and the big sharks, the question does come up, you know, where do these animals go when a hurricane approaches? And a lot of times they will move into deeper water where the water is going to be more stable. A lot of people can do some of these simple observations from their own backyard. In late February, sometimes early March, it may not have warmed up enough, but you can start hearing those spring peepers in some of the moist areas near your home. And listen to that chorus, because as that chorus becomes louder, a lot of times the frogs are responding to that increase in moisture in the atmosphere, and they do become a little bit louder in their calling. The frogs individually don't call more loudly, but more of the frogs are inspired, I guess, by the wet conditions to call more loudly as a chorus. So some of these tree frogs piping during rain indicates continued rain. Not necessarily true, but the ones that relate directly to the more the frog calls, the more's the rain, certainly is true because, again, they're responding to that increase in moisture and they're happy. Hey, you know, let's get out there and have some fun. This is our kind of weather.
So what can we look for in terms of our groundhog on Groundhog Day?
Chattanooga Chuck pays close attention to the long-range models. He doesn't rely just on his shadow alone. And it looks like beginning of February probably will be pretty chilly for a good part of the country, including the Tennessee Valley. I think everything from the Great Lakes down into our neck of the woods, according to Chuck, will be pretty chilly. And whether we see that last into spring or whether that will be kind of winter's last blow, we'll have to see. But I think he's leaning towards a cold start to the rest of winter and then maybe warming up quickly. And so I think an early spring maybe in the offing.
You can learn more about the animals that share our world by visiting the Tennessee Aquarium. Follow the links from our blog at wutc.org for more information. For Around and About, this is Rabbit.